Hey, I'm Rodrigo Núñez, and this is the podcast, Culture, News, and Payasadas. On this episode, we're going to talk about boxing, the sweet science, fregazos, whatever you want to call it. Boxing is a central figure in my childhood, just growing up watching these fights. And on February 22nd, 2020, Deontay Wilder fought Tyson Fury in a heavyweight title match that really caught fire over the internet. Everyone was talking about it on Twitter. It seemed like everyone was watching it, and it was very exciting. And I loved feeling that again, because growing up, every once in a while, there seemed to be a big boxing fight that would bring everyone together, that would get everyone grilling, cooking out, making tacos, discada, hígado, whatever. And we would all gather around the one house with the DirecTV that had bought the pay-per-view for all of us to watch the big fight. And I hadn't felt something like that in a long time. Really, like, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder 2 is the closest it got to how it felt when I was a kid. Coincidentally, this year marks the 20th anniversary of one of the greatest trilogy of fights ever. And that's the trilogy of Eric El Terrible Morales and Marco Antonio Barrera, two Mexican fighters who had three fights that were each incredible and each reached that height of hype of everyone coming together and just enjoying these. And they were really good fights. Both fighters represented so much about Mexican culture. They advanced Mexican boxing to new heights, and everything about these things was just so important that I had to talk to an expert about it. Roberto Andrade Franco is a PhD candidate at SMU and a writer and contributing editor for D Magazine. He also has an exceptional Twitter account. It's r_AndradeFranco. And he tweets so many great, funny, insightful things. And he tweets a lot of his articles, which are also great, including the one pinned to the top of his profile, which is a piece he wrote for Texas Monthly called You Can Never Leave the Border Behind. I read this thing. It was awesome. Do yourself a favor. Follow Roberto on Twitter. Read everything he writes. And enjoy this conversation that I had with him about Barrera and Morales and the fight and just everything. So yeah, Roberto, am I right in saying that it's that big a deal, or am I being exaggerated, or am I underselling just how big this trilogy is in the grand picture of Mexican boxing?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I think you're correct. I think if anything, there might be one or two that are ahead of it, but this one's definitely the most well-known. This one's definitely the one that became symbolic of so many other things that were outside of boxing, as with many important boxers and many important fights. This one ended up symbolizing so much more than two guys, right? And it's one of the most important fights in boxing history, one of the most important trilogies in boxing history, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, in my personal memory or in my life, I think the only one that surpasses it or even comes close to it is the De La Hoya Chavez one. But that one had the whole appeal of, you know, Mexico versus Mexican-American or Chicano or whatever you want to say it. And this one was just two Mexican dudes representing two distinct identities within Mexico, right? And I think if you just see it from the outside, people would be like, oh, it's just two Mexican guys. But if you understand a little bit of Mexican culture, you get that these two guys are very different from very different parts of the country, different upbringings, and all of that really painted this in a different light.
Right. So you have Morales, who's from Tijuana, the border area, borderland between, obviously, the United States and Mexico, which is a completely different culture, completely different type of Mexican identity than where Barrera's from, which is Mexico City. And Mexico City, of course, is you know, kind of like, it's almost, how can I say this? When you think of Mexican culture as an outsider, you just kind of take for granted that it's Mexico, right? Yeah. I'm assuming people, when they look at the United States, so much of the United States culture is influenced by New York City, LA, these major cities. Same goes with Mexico City. So these are two different people from two different areas. Mark Barrera is a middle class kid for a while. He wants to study law. Morales is just this kid who grew up in the red light district of Tijuana, la parte norte or zona norte. That's what it's called.
Yeah,
and you know, it's essentially kind of like the stereotypical type of person who gets into boxing, this is who Morales is.
Right. And yeah, I think that's a big deal, because even up until now, I haven't been to Mexico City. Like, I'm barely going to go to Mexico City this year, yet I'm like Mexican, right? But the culture is just so different. And I remember watching Chabelo on Sundays or whatever, he talk about provincia, right? Or there's always that notion of like, it's Mexico City and everywhere else. And I feel like Morales was like a champion for everyone else in a certain way. And I remember that's something that like my dad like really liked El Terrible, and he was his guy. But honestly, like personally me, I kind of identified with Barrera more because I saw Morales as the type of dude who could beat me up, and like I was kind of afraid of him. You know, like I saw him in the faces of a lot of the kids that I would see at school. So I'd be like, oh man, I know this type of kid. I know that he's a real bastard. And so I kind of liked Barrera a little more. Did you have one of the two guys that you cheered for?
Well, I definitely cheer for Morales more, but I could see what you're saying. You know what I mean? You grow up, you know what the borderland area is like.
Yeah.
So you know who's the type of person who ends up boxing, who's the type of person who if it wasn't for boxing, they would be in all types of trouble, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I could definitely see that. You just know who Morales is, right? Us growing up in El Paso and Juarez area,
yeah.
you just know who he is.
Yeah, and he even had the haircut. My cousin had the same haircut Morales had.
Right, and Morales had just like physically his face, he just looks like somebody you wouldn't mess with.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Whereas Barrera, I mean, they called him the babyface assassin. So. Right. You know, he's kind of like much more approachable kind of look to him. You know what I mean? Whereas Morales, just you just know not to fuck with him, right?
Yeah, for sure. And that's the other thing too, because I could never grow a beard, so it's just like babyface is kind of like a derogatory term, right? But this dude's an assassin, and so that's another thing where I like kind of resonated with Barrera a little more. But either way, these fights were insane, and both of these guys fought in what is called the Mexican style, right? Like if you rewatch these fights now, which I did earlier, it's just in like the first fight, they're just going at it for most of the fight. It's crazy. What's the story of the three fights, or kind of like how was one different from the other? I wonder if you could just speak about that a little bit.
Well, I think the only fight that Morales won was the first one. And yeah. Then Barrera won the second two, which coincidentally, was the same pattern that Morales was the first Mexican to beat Pacquiao, really.
Yeah.
And they fought three times, and that was the similar pattern. He won the first fight, he lost the second two. But I think overall the fight, what it symbolizes is this transition from Julio Cesar Chavez, right?
Yeah.
After Julio Cesar Chavez is everything that is Mexican boxing now, arguably, until now, Canelo Alvarez is the biggest face, and several others boxers that are coming up. I think this trilogy, along with a couple of other boxers, Marquez most notably, they kind of symbolize this transition between Chavez in the 1980s, 1990s Mexican boxing until now, which is Mexican boxing as essentially the biggest thing there is with Canelo. Arguably now that might have changed a little bit after the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight, but you know, that's just kind of like the transition between one era to the next of Mexican boxing. And I think that's why it's important in so far as the history. But you know, obviously all three fights were just great fights.
Yeah, they were. And I don't think, maybe again, this is just my personal bias, but I don't think any of Canelo's fights, even the ones against like Triple G, have come up or matched the intensity or just the scale of any of these three fights, even like the third one, which they're bigger dudes and they're slower, they got more power or whatever, but it doesn't, to me at least, they didn't have the same intensity as the first two. Even that one, like, is way bigger than any fight Canelo has had recently. And do you think that is because Canelo is more of a savvy boxer, or is it just because there's no good rival to Canelo? Is this a product? Is the Morales-Barrera fight like more their rivalry, or is it that it was at a point in like Mexicans fighting evolution that Canelo now is more savvy? He plays a little bit more defensive. You know, these guys at the end of their fights, like, their faces were all messed up. And Canelo, I don't think he's ever had a fight where his face is all jacked up, right?
I think the second Golovkin fight, he got cut, but I think that might be true. I mean, you know, this is the difference between fights that are for boxing fans and fights that are for kind of like the popular fans that are Canelo fans, right? That,
yeah,
you know, the Triple G fight, both of them were huge draws, but they were also just kind of like the difference between popularity and just an appreciation of what boxing is. Mm. So the three fights with Barrera and Morales were more kind of like, you know, a lot of boxing fans would watch those. A lot of, you know, Mexican families would get together and watch those. And not that didn't happen with Canelo, or does happen, but, you know, Canelo's a star. Canelo's known way beyond what Marquez, Barrera, Morales are, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's a difference of that. But I think I think part of the tension between Morales and Barrera was that they seemed to really hate each other.
Right.
Right. It wasn't just that they were opposites. It's that they knew that they were opposites, and they were more than willing to point out what the other wasn't. So in the case of Morales, Barrera would call him an indio, right? He would say that he had no class, that he was, that every third word out of a fifth five word sentence was a curse, right?
Yeah.
And on the other side, Morales would say of Barrera, essentially calling out his manhood. He called him mariquita, you know, all types of, you know, the things that usually grow up and that you see with this machismo.
Yeah, that is definitely true. And that's something that we don't see in Canelo or anything like that. And I think you brought up a really good point where, even to this day, I feel like a lot of us don't realize or are kind of underappreciating the caliber of Canelo, because we're kind of yearning for him to kind of be that, or have that bravado, have that like throwback quality, which he doesn't have, because he doesn't need to, because he's a star, because he's really good at what he does.
Right. Well, Canelo, unlike any other Mexican fighter before him, he dictates who he fights, under what demands he gets. I mean, nobody's really done that. Maybe Julio Cesar Chavez towards the end of his career, but he was well past his prime. But Canelo's in his prime, and he's the A side. He's able to tell you under what conditions you're fighting, and if you're not going to pick the fight, if you're not going to choose to fight, then, you know, there's six other boxers who are more than willing to step in. So I think that's a major change. That's you know, with that obviously comes power, and you know, I think Canelo often gets unfairly criticized because he does exercise that power, and it would be foolish not to. I mean, there's a couple of things that do go out of the way to exert that, but, you know, it's also boxing. You have a very limited career span,
right?
And in a way, you're also risking your life every time you fight.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you touched earlier on the big fight, on how families would get together. And I that's another aspect of these fights that was just so amazing. Like, I remember, at least in our house, the fight food. Like, every time there was a big fight, my dad would make hígado encebollado, which is like liver and onions, on Jalisco. And we just have tacos of that. So, like, the smell of liver and onions just reminds me of boxing, just kind of makes me feel like there's a fight that's about to break out, especially this one. Right. And I'm not sure if any other fight, at least in recent memory, has achieved that, at least with a Mexican fighter. I think the closest we got was the Andy Ruiz Joshua rematch, but Andy kind of messed that up. And maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe there's no other Mexican fight that has reached the heights of these, like between two Mexican fighters, right?
Yeah, between two Mexican fighters, no. I would say overall, I think the Canelo Triple G fights got up there. The Canelo versus Chavez Jr. got up there in terms of sales and anticipation. But once you watch that, I mean, that thing was over in the first round.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in terms of people looking forward to it, I mean, I bought the paper. I mean, I buy most of these pay-per-views, but I had pretty much convinced myself that it was going to be a better fight than it was, right? Almost illogically, you talk yourself into these fights,
yeah.
Almost like how I talked, and not just me, my whole family, at least the males. We talked ourselves into Chavez beating De La Hoya almost, right?
Yeah.
Because of what he meant to us, right? And what he meant to Mexico. So there's a point of that you convince yourself that this is going to be a great fight. This is going to be one of the historic fights. And then with Chavez Jr. and Canelo, it was a complete blowout and a dud. It was one of the most boringest fights I've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember back when these fights were on, my dad always a Morales fan, right? Because, no, es que él es de Tijuana, es como de nosotros. And my mom would be like, pero es que es muy grosero, es que es muy peleonero. It's just like, they're both boxers. They're both fighting professionally. How can one be a peleonero and the other one not? So I can see a lot of what you mean, where in these fights, it's just whoever's watching it kind of puts a lot of themselves in the boxer. And I don't know if that's uniquely Mexican. I like to claim it is because it's just enjoyable to watch these fights and to project a lot of what you feel in these fighters.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if that's uniquely Mexican, as you say, but I do think that Mexican families watch boxing together more than, I mean, I don't want to speak for every other nationality or ethnicity.
Yeah.
But let's just, I mean, just what I know, I know that my grandma knows who Andy Ruiz was even before he won championship, right?
Yeah.
I know she knows. She watches all of these like Unimas, Univision type of fights.
Yeah.
So there's more of a following of the sport with it, at least my Mexican family, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my mom was the one that told me about Chocolatito, and I was like, I haven't seen this kid fight. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just something that happens because it's on TV and it's just, I guess, more normal. Going back to the trilogy, where are these guys now? What happened to Barrera since? What happened with Morales? I know Barrera's on like TV commentating, but I'm not really sure what happened to Morales. Do you know?
Morales, I'm not sure if he still is commentating. He was for a while. They actually became friendly. But I know Morales is now training Jaime Munguia, who's also from Tijuana. And a couple of years ago, he was kind of portrayed as this next big thing, especially after he knocked out Saddam Ali to win the championship at 154, and he just kind of came out of nowhere, right? It was one of them boxers who you really had to watch boxing to know who he was. I think up to that point, he was likely more famous because he was the proposed opponent of Triple G, kind of like that time before the rematch with Canelo. So he was training him, or he still is, and Munguia has kind of fallen off a little bit. He hasn't lost yet, although he should have lost a couple of fights ago, but he's a trainer, and he's trying to teach Munguia, young Munguia, who's still 22 or 23,
right,
how to fight, you know, how to not just be an offensive fighter, but also how to protect yourself.
Yeah, which is cool. And I kind of see the parallels on the two, right? One of them's on TV, the other one's went right back to boxing and just kind of like passing on the craft or whatever, which is really cool. And I feel like we need that. And finally, what do you see as the state of Mexican boxing today? Do you think we'll achieve the heights of this trilogy? Or do you think we're, like we spoke about earlier, underappreciating what we currently have with Canelo? Or just overall, what do you see as the state of Mexican boxing in 2020?
Well, I mean, I think Mexican boxing is in a good place. It's got a lot of, besides Canelo, which is the face of boxing, in my opinion, it's got a lot of good champions that aren't household names. but they're coming up and they're good. Is I think one of the most interesting things that's happening right now is Eddie Reynoso, who's the trainer of Canelo, and how he is essentially accumulating all of these pupils that he's of Mexican boxing that he's teaching. Mm-hmm. And he has a very defensive orientated style of fighting. Right. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how in 15, 20 years, all of these boxers that come through Reynoso's gym, including Canelo, including somebody like Garcia, who just fought a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I know he's Mexican-American, but and a few other Mexican fighters, and just to see how he's able to kind of evolve the Mexican style from this purely offensive type of fighting into more one that is much more defensive focus, something more like Canelo, I guess, is the perfect example of what this would be, and just to see what happens out of this.
Well, that's exciting to hear, and I think anything that's more like Canelo, anything that's more excellent all around for Mexican fighting is really good. So thanks, Roberto, for having this conversation with me. Thanks for posting the original tweet that inspired this conversation. Thanks again for talking about this with me.
No problem. Thank you, Rodrigo.
Once again, that was Roberto Andrade Franco, PhD candidate, writer, boxing historian, all-around great writer. Follow him on Twitter, r_AndradeFranco. Thanks for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and hasta luego. Con tu gato fresita de la del valle, todo macuarro, tumbado y con mi paño. Discúlpame, chiquita, por no traer carro.
This is the Irrelevant Podcast Network. Thanks for listening.